Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would it be to sit on the Mount of Olives? How would you feel? How about if you were walking down the road or you saw cars going by and you realized, this is the Valley of Elah. This is where David defeated Goliath. I mean, just imagine you are there where it happened. How would it make you feel? Our guests today, they know exactly what it's like to be there, to take it all in, and also to bring it back. What does it mean to have experienced that then, and filtering through or letting the Bible percolate in our lives, and then bringing it back to where we are today to teach, to equip, and to inspire, and even to help realign the way that we see people, the way that we see people in the Holy Land, people in Israel. And with the backdrop of the reality today of tension, constant tension, imagine what that would be like, where terrorism, which is in some ways relatively new to the United States, is a way of life in Israel. It's a daily tension, a daily pressure. Well, our guest today, Waxer Tipton, Pastor Waxer Tipton and Pastor David Blevins are here in studio. They are, Pastor Waxer is the pastor of One Love Ministries, and Pastor David is his associate. They are going to share heart to heart with us about points of contention, but also points of peace and how it can be brought about by the grace of God. And it is by the grace of God that we're here today to share in this moment with you, because our heart is to bring the love of Jesus Christ to you, my friend. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever challenge it might be that you might have a point of tension in your own life, mm-hmm. that God knows you, He loves you, and Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Amen. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And we can testify today that the living Christ calls you to Himself. Amen. And so, dear one, would you open your heart to Jesus Christ? Would you receive Him as your personal Savior and Lord? And dear one, if you know the Lord and walking with Him, are walking with Him, it's our hope that you would be built up today, encouraged, indeed inspired. Pastor Waxer, Pastor David, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm looking at someone who have a very unique connection with ministry on the island of Molokai. Pastor David, you being a surfer there, having a tremendous testimony. Actually, it was you that was talking about the Valley of Elah, yeah. and sitting on the Mount of Olives. Pastor Waxer, you just got back.
I did.
From Israel.
Yep, last week. And I just wanted to say with your intro to those that are listening, I went to the tomb last week and it's still empty.
Still empty.
Yeah. Jesus is not there. He is alive. And He rose. And I think the context for our discussion today, Danny, and regarding Israel, and you get this whenever you go there, is we get into trouble, we get into struggle, we get into error, theologically, politically, philosophically, if we don't remember Israel is past, present, and future. It's all three. There is a past, but so often Christians and others will look at Israel and go to Israel and think of it only as the events that happened biblically. Mm. So yeah, we see David and Elah and these things, and we're like, wow, so we see it only in this past tense. But anyone who lives there, and you recognize what's going on in the news right now, there is a very radical present, and we know the eyes of the world are on its present. But the reason being is because biblically we all know that there is a future. You know, there is prophetic ends that go through into Israel as well. And so you don't understand the present conflict if you don't even know the past of the country, going all the way back to, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, you know, all of these different things with Israel.
Well, we probably would be good to give a snapshot of that, the past, to bring things into the present context. But how many times, Waxer, have you gone to Israel?
We were trying to count. my wife and I, we think it's around eight times. But you see, sometimes, like, I studied there, so that's why it seems like more times. So I spent a quarter there when I was at Fuller. And my dad has his double doctorate in archaeology and theology, and so he did his digs there. Mm-hmm. So I would spend some time with dad there. So it's a little different than just, you know, textbook or classroom. So I got the archaeological angle of it and then the theological side and put it together. So that's what makes it real.
Okay. Now, we talked about the tension.
Yeah.
That is a constant thing. They live under that all the time.
Danny, I just spent a week and a half before the team came, just with my friend Ronnie out there, and we were looking at it as they're going through the house. I mean, who does this? There's, okay, here's the kitchen, you know, here's the living room, here's your bedroom, here's the bomb shelter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
a way of life.
It's a way of life.
I mean, Dave, you were saying that when you were there, there were a couple of bombings.
Well, this was back in 2003, and this was at the height of the Second Intifada, which the word Intifada means uprising by the Palestinian people. Suicidal bombings were immeasurable at that time. It was basically almost one a day at that time.
Yeah, and the city buses.
Yeah, and the city buses were in the malls and places like that. And so that tension is always there. And a lot of people, most of the world, I should say, and even a big majority of the body of Christ, thinks that tension is there for political reasons. And really, it's not. It's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, while Waxer was in Israel, I taught a message called Why Israel and brought it home to a very personal level that it is about souls.
Mm-hmm.
And not just political boundaries and things, but about
right.
the souls of men and women and coming to faith in Messiah. As Waxer mentioned, with Israel, there's a past, a present, and a future. And what we tend to forget is the future part mm-hmm. of Israel and the importance that it plays within Scripture.
Well, let's bring it into context then, as we'll talk about the future. But give a snapshot of the past, biblically speaking, of the tension that exists today.
Well, you know, there's a huge timeline that we could go back and through, but obviously people have recognized this throughout the Old Testament, the constant struggle with the different persons in the lands, whether it be Canaanites, Mennonites, so on and so forth. You know, we make every joke from, you know, mosquito bites and everything else, that there was this constant battles that have gone over in the land. Part of the question goes over in 586 BC after their rebellion, and as you know, God removed them from the land, but there was still always a remnant. There was always people. So we know even when Ezra came back, you know, Nehemiah, in their contexts, there was a remnant, there was people that was there, but there was this, quote, occupation by other peoples, because you walk in a land and you see a land that already has, you know, walls and farms and everything, so people would always come and take a new area. That's what's called a tell. If you go there, you'll see mountains higher and higher because it's the same different groups come in and take the same city because the well is there. You go where the water is, you know. And so that's been the history. So from 586 BC and then obviously regrouped again. And then in 70 AD after Titus, you know, destroyed the city and once again in the diaspora and sent everybody out and apart. So there's these multiple periods and times where then different groups have come in and lived in the land. So the question of the history is, who belongs to it by the most recent rites of squatting, the most recent persons there, or is there a divine ordinance on who's supposed to live in the land? And so when I read the scriptures in Exodus, you know, and in Joshua, I see that there is clearly borders that are given. So that's where a lot of the struggle has been, is the battle. Now, why is this tiny little country, smaller than Rhode Island, this country smaller than New Jersey, such a key pivotal point in history from the ancient of days till the present of days. Well, you look at you where you've got your Russia, you've got Asia, you've got Egypt, you've got Africa, the largest nations of the world in the known world at that time, the crisscross right in the very center, Danny, is Israel. So the only way to get your goods through, so the Via Maris, the way, the road by the sea, it goes through Israel. And so whoever owned Israel owned the trade. And so you can see where biblically there was a choice that God chose this land and this people. Why? Because the world was going to come through it so that his word, his love, his gospel. So pre-media, how did people hear about something? Word of mouth. And so here God divinely plates this up, but it has also placated the fact that once Israel would be in rebellion, the only reason why they were able to be sustained was by God's sovereign power. And so when they would rebel, he would remove his hand of grace, they would get punished, and then at times he would bring them back. But as we saw in after 70 AD, but is God done? Absolutely not. We've seen the prophecies coming to life. We've seen Ezekiel 37 in 1948, where they were once again given a land. But it goes all the way back, early to even the 30s, where a man named Theodore Herzl came and said, we need a land. Israel needs a land for the people.
Theodore Herzl, a pivotal figure in the modern day history of Israel.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we'll go from there. Let's take it from there. And you just got back, Waxer. So let's bring it to what's happening today. I mean, just today, there's a peace agreement that exists, and yet there's underlying tension because there is some expansion that the Israelis are in the middle of wanting to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was about thousands of acres more of land. Well, explain what this is all about. Yeah. We're talking about not past, but stuff that is happening today.
Absolutely.
When you hear this, there are more things that are going to be happening in the Holy Land. And God brings Waxer Tipton, David Blevins, to share and to help grant us an understanding in the context of what's happening. You don't want to miss this now. Okay, we'll be right back in just a little while. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling. You're listening listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
We talked about tension. I mean, how would you like to live in tension, never knowing if a bomb is going to blow up a car or a bomb is going to blow up a hotel nearby? Or how about in your home, that you, the home that you purchase or the home that you live in, every home has to have a bomb shelter. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to give a tour to a family member or a friend or just a visitor, very nonchalant, you're going to say, oh, this is my kid's bedroom, this mm-hmm. is the kitchen, and this is the bomb shelter, and mm-hmm. This is where we go and we do our barbecue.
Yeah.
That's the reality of what's happening. These Waxer Tipton, David Blevins, pastors at One Love Ministries, are here with us in studio. If you're tuning in right now, you probably want to get the whole program as you might be just listening to the tail end of the last segment or the content of what is going to be shared. It's one where I want to encourage you to get the program in its entirety. And as you do, share it with a family member, share it with a friend. In fact, to find out more about One Love Ministries, onelove.org, onelove.org. So, Pastor Waxer, this ongoing tension that exists, mm-hmm. I keep bringing that up. There's a temporary peace agreement, and yet, right when it's in play, mm-hmm. there is an underlying or even a seemingly undermining that's going on mm-hmm. politically with a desire for even more land to build more homes. Mm-hmm. Describe what that is and where that's coming from.
Sure. Well, as I was mentioning just before the break about Theodore Herzl, who said that the years of anti-Semitism throughout the world, I mean, most people don't even realize from 1492 with Columbus and everything, all Jews were expelled from Europe, you know, under Isabella and so forth. And so because of that, not having a homeland, then there was a place and a cry. And so there began to be, in World War II, a sympathy towards that. And so in through that, the Balfour Agreement and all these other different things, Israel was given a state, as most people know, May 14th, 1948. And then from there, the battle, Danny, has been over those borders. And the battle has been, is there to be an Israeli and a Palestinian state? Are they to coexist side by side? And unfortunately, that has, even the answer has changed radically throughout the years. As I was sharing with you before we went on air, you know, Christians, when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, remember, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as God asks you to do so, it's people that are in Jerusalem of every ethnicity from ancient days until now. And so there was Jews and Gentiles. And so we are not specifically stating a people group per se over one over another, but the peace in this holy land, in this place, in this crossroads that God has prepared. And so people need to remember that the Palestinian people there have bomb shelters in their homes, just like the Jewish people do, because if you live in Tel Aviv, which both ethnicities do, you know, when that siren goes off, you've got 30 seconds to get and decide where you're at. Where the struggle comes from is the ideologies and the values. And so you have to make a distinction. And this is where I've been trying to make the point the most. And maybe I can defer to Dave on this a little bit afterwards. But, you know, I've heard people state Gazans. There's no such thing as a Gazan. There's Palestinian people who live in Gaza. Not every Palestinian is Hamas or Hezbollah or ISIS or these other radical groups. These are radical ideologies.
Okay, let's take a reprieve. Explain Hamas, okay. Hezbollah, ISIS. Mm-hmm. We hear the names,
yeah.
But describe them for us.
Well, basically, they're terrorist groups. The way they promote their ideology, which really, when you tear everything away, is an ideology of death.
They're all connected?
Interconnected.
They're interconnected.
In some ways. But there's also feuding in between them, because it's always about power struggle, who's going to get what and how much of the pie. These it's very important that we distinguish them, the Hamas, ISIS, and other groups, Islamic Jihad and others, from the Palestinian people.
Yeah.
When you talk to the Palestinian people in Gaza, and the reports are coming out about how they're forced to be used as human shields and other things, documented facts. These are actual facts, both verbal and video facts, that the people are being used as shields there by these terrorist organizations. And let me, maybe I can bring this home a little clearer by just sharing a little bit of my life. As a local boy being brought up on Molokai, and I know you guys cannot see us on the radio, but Waxer sitting next to me is about as white as they come. About as tall as they come. But he was my biggest problem because of my ideology, so to say, that I was brought up in. And so the white man was always my struggle. And it wasn't until I came to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ was that I realized that I was actually practicing a form of terrorism. I wasn't using bombs or bullets or guns, but the principle was still the same as it is with Hamas. There's just on a very extreme level.
Intimidation, fear.
Exactly. And so that's how you categorize them, by how they operate, what they believe in. When you train up a child from beyond, earlier than elementary school age, of nothing but hatred, violence, to kill, to become a martyr, something's not right there. And so all of these groups, and we can see just this afternoon on the reports are coming in that they beheaded another, ISIS beheaded another American journalist. And so you see the ideology is not based on life, where Israel's is. And these terrorist organizations, their ideology is based on death.
So now we talk about the clash of the ideology. Mm-hmm. You made a distinction, mm-hmm. and I think we need to go back there. Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, ISIL, and a Palestinian, mm-hmm. that they're not the same mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. Let's go further on that.
Well, I mean, first of all, everybody remember J.D. Farag here, one of our good friends and pastors, is a Palestinian, you know, born, you know, over there with Arab parents and so forth. So one's ethnicity doesn't make their religion or their ideology. You know, I'm a Scotch-Irish Christian. Doesn't mean I'm Presbyterian just because I'm Scotch-Irish. So that's one of the key elements to recognize. But the different elements of Islam where people will take the decrees and how they read it and interpret it. There's some that says there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim, and there's others that are saying, no, we are moderate Muslims. And so, again, there's this struggle that is, that's why it's not just going to be solved by one geopolitical person. And the world is crying out for someone to solve this peace with just one situation, Danny. So that's why, you know, I have on my phone right now a picture of when I was there in Israel, and it Fox News, ceasefire has been agreed upon. And then I had two right on top of it of the rocket alerts that had just been fired. So, So I mean, what part of peace talks do we not get here? And so the point is that there could be a group that are Hamas leaders that said, yeah, we'll do peace talks. But that doesn't mean Joe Radical out in the corner is going to agree. So he's still firing rockets. And so it's the people living. And so their whole point about trying to establish living areas is the more areas that are, quote, dwelt in and lived in, less than there can be the subtle tunnels being brought underneath. You know, they got 30 tunnels that they had to blow up with. I sat right next to one of the paratroopers on a bus ride home from Jerusalem, had an hour and a half of them. They blew up 30 tunnels that, by the estimation of all of the cement work, the rails, the lighting, they were $30 million a piece. So 30 times 30. And you recognize that. And yet, what does the world cry out? The world cries out and says, look at the situation of Gaza, how they're hungry, they're starving. Where's their electricity? Where's the humanitarian aid? Imagine what could have happened if that money could have been put into infrastructure and schools rather than putting the rocket things underneath. I mean, it's no question anywhere to any person in the world where the head of Hamas's headquarters is. It's right under the hospital. People don't realize that Hamas doesn't have a uniform. And so when a rocket goes through and all of a sudden then cameras are there, they're like, oh, look, these civilians were killed. But just 10 minutes before that rocket went, those civilians were firing rockets over. People don't recognize that before any Israeli rocket is ever fired, they would first send in leaflets, then they send in text, then they give cell phones, then they give a lead rocket. Did you know that, Danny? They send it in a dud, and it comes in, and it goes thunk, and it hits. If that's not enough to say, please get out of Dodge, then they fire. But I have yet to hear that on CNN. And again, people call me on it. I was just there a week and a half ago. I saw it with my own eyes.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think, Danny, just a little bit on the separation of the ideologies. You know, the world talks about the oppression of the people in Gaza. Well, it's Israel who's bringing in the electricity. Mm-hmm. It's Israel who's bringing in the food. Mm-hmm. It's Israel who's allowing those cross borders to stay open so supplies can come in. And majority of the time, sad to say, the reports show it, the UN reports show it, that majority of the time it doesn't even make it to the people.
Right.
The finances and things that go supposed to go towards the Palestinian people are being funneled off into these organizations, these terrorist organizations.
Right. And Danny, I think I just need to jump in on that. And then don't quote me on the number, but I think it's 14, maybe, Dave, you know, 14 or 16 members of the Knesset are Palestinian. Mm-hmm. So that's why when David is saying Israel is sending aid, it's a mixed group of people.
Well, and you could speak. You both have been there. And I've been there. Mm-hmm. But a Palestinian and Israeli. Mm-hmm. There are many there, more than we know. I mean, it's a way of life that they have coexisted relationally, in a peaceful way. Mm-hmm. And for years and years and years. I mean, I can remember seeing a video of Moshe Dayan, the great Israeli general, speaking Arabic. Because he grew up playing with Arabic children as he was a child.
That's right.
And speaking words of peace and laughing together, drinking coffee or tea together. We need to speak further about this. And there's some removal of demonizing that has to take place while we speak about issues of truth. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Ring the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Land. Yeah, land. Is it worth fighting for? Is it worth giving up your life? Is it worth giving up your child's life? Is it worth giving up land? Or is it worth pursuing land? That's a lot of what is being done and being spoken about in a diplomatic fashion and as well as a military fashion. It's rooted in land, in the Middle East, in the land of Israel. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Waxer Tipton and David Blevins, the pastors of One Love Ministries. Both have traveled to Israel. Pastor Waxer has traveled multiple times. He's studied there. And they're here to speak about what's going on, right? Pastor Waxer just got back a week ago from there. Land. There is ongoing tension. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's been going on, at least for all my life, mm-hmm. there's been tension there. And then terrorism that's going on. Speaking about terrorism, has it escalated over the years, even as we speak today, about the way things are done? Has it become more brutal?
Very much so. I can't the exact year of when they finished what we call a security fence there in Israel. So the suicidal bombers could no longer enter in as freely as they could in the past. And so now the terrorists had to figure out another form of terrorism, which now that's why we see the escalation of the rockets, because the security has stepped up, I mean, tremendously from what it used to be during the Intifada, and like I said earlier, on almost a daily basis with the suicidal bombers. But not just in the area of random shooting of rockets. And when I say random, it's really random, because they don't have precision weapons. And so so if it falls on a kindergarten or a preschool or something, to them, with their ideology, Hamas, not the Palestinian people, but Hamas, it's a big score for them. Mm-hmm. They pride themselves in that. And so, yeah, you see that area of brutality escalated. But then in the so-called territories itself, you read the reports of no due process with so-called collaborators with Israel during the Operation Protective Edge, where they were taking by the dozens of so-called collaborators and just brutally killing them.
So the terrorists, you talk about Hamas, mm-hmm. Hezbollah, mm-hmm. ISIS, ISIL, mm-hmm. what do they want?
Islam.
What do these terroristic groups, what do they want?
I believe, and this is 100% personal interpretation, I believe that this is demonically imposed, if not demonically possessed, individuals forcing this. Their belief is that there is Muslim or there's will be Muslim, and that's it. And that's their own statement. That's not something that I'm stating. And so they, it's by force, because they quote sections of the Quran, you know, of the entitlement to bring the word of Allah, you know, whether by peace or by force. And so that is their thing. But as Dave said, it comes down to the wire as far as control and power. And it's control and power. That's why there's even extreme arguments between even different Muslim groups, you know, Shiites and so forth. And so there's arguments on even the different factions, Danny.
But do they... What's the end game? What's the goal?
Do you think they know?
To go to these extremes. What are they trying to achieve?
Okay. Theologically, if you look at the three major religions in the world, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, we're sitting in a time of history that we never sat in before, in the fact that all three of our religions, sort of say, are waiting for Messiah. We're all looking for our form of Messiah, mm-hmm. as far as the Christians, the second coming of Christ within Judaism. They're still First. Looking mm-hmm. because they reject Jesus as Messiah. But then within Islam, mm-hmm. what they believe in their theology is that there has to be total chaos before their so-called Messiah comes. And what is amazing, Danny, when you study the scriptures prophetically and you study Islamic theology, eschatology, an area of eschatology. It's amazing when you look at this so-called Ayman, this hidden Ayman, the 12th Ayman, the different names they give him. He almost lines up perfectly with what the Bible calls the Antichrist. It's an amazing thing mm-hmm. when you look at these things. And so the end game, I believe, as far as Islam is concerned, is this era of chaos to usher in the so-called...
Okay, so what the terrorists are doing is beyond just trying to acquire land or get back land that was
way beyond
either
that.
In their mind taken away or given away. No. They would say taken away.
Right.
So we're looking at different planes.
Absolutely.
Of communication.
Yeah. That's why, Danny, it's not a political resolution. It's not going to be solved politically.
Now, the issue with the Palestinians, though, mm-hmm. is and the Israelis, is of a matter of land.
Yes and no. I mean, it's definitely, you know, when you did your intro, you said land, and I would prefer the situation is home. You know, it's more of a situation of home. Would I mm-hmm. fight for land? No. But for my home? Yes. Those are two different questions. And so both claiming which one is their home. You know,
and they both claim it's their
home. Exactly. And so that's where a lot of the struggle is coming from, is from at who has that right to be there in the land. You know, when people will say that the Jews returning were colonialists, they weren't colonialists. And I can prove that, because by what flag did they come under? There was no flag that they came in. They mm-hmm. were coming to a homeland, mm-hmm. you know, a place that archaeologically proves their existence. But we also have every single form of Canaanite. Of worship, you know, of worship articles, you know, Asherahs, Baals, and all these different types of things. And so archaeologically, we know that this was a homeland of multiple ethnicities in multiple places. And so that's where the confusion and the broadening and the arguments go. And that's where they come from, is there. And that's why it's more of an issue, not about land, but as far as a home. Now, most people don't understand that Palestinian people, there is no such thing. And I'm going to go on record. I know someone's not going to like this, but it is documented and it's factual. The term Palestinian is actually to describe the Arab groups that were more or less the Samaritans of the Arab world that were living in the area. And so you have Canaanite, Philistine, Amalekite, so on and so forth. And you have the different people groups. But what ended up being this area, which is why then in 1948, when the land became Jewish, quote unquote, is given there, what Jordan wasn't willing to accept, Syria wasn't willing to accept, Egypt wasn't willing to accept these people because they weren't them. And so even the Arab world was saying, so there was actually a publicist kind of group that kind of came together and looked and found in the history of the documents that when Rome got finally fed up with battling with Israel to knock them out, the emperor knocked out the country and he named it Palestino. And so he named it under a Roman name, like they would often do, to completely remove the memory of the previous group that was there before. So it was always called this land of Israel, or Judah kingdom and Israel kingdom and so forth. But then after Rome's conquest, then it was called Palestine. So they look back at the map and they say, well, if we call these individuals Palestinians, well, then the Palestinians belong in Palestine. But Palestine, you can look back and find it on the map when it changed and was literally called Palestine. But it was not. It was Israel.
So how does that relate to, you know, again, the tension that exists today?
Well, but see, then that is exactly where the tension is. You see, in 1938, there was an entire situation that put up that allowed those individuals that were living there, those Arab communities that were living there, to have a piece of land. Then there was a thing called the Peel Commission, and that Peel Commission put out an entire map in 1937, Danny, that said, here they'll live side by side. The Jewish alignment individuals agreed. The Arab world did not. And so, again, those seven nations all around them, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, all of them said no. Same thing happened in 1948 when they actually have the Balfour Agreement afterwards, and they put up a map. And so most people don't know, on May 14th, 1948, when Israel was given a state, it was given a state, but it was split right again between Arab and Jew. Half of the country, half of Jerusalem itself, the Temple Mount itself, was in Arab control and Arab land. But then in 1967, in the Six-Day War, that land was lost in that battle, and Jordan pulled out, went to the other side. But the land was from Yenin to Beersheba, 55% of the country. But the statement was made by the other Arab countries. And this is what I'm trying to get at. When two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. So all of these other Arab countries said, we do not want the Jew here. We want to push them into the sea. The conflict has caused these poor folks in the middle in the crossfire, known as Palestinians, to be in the midst, so that they are so ripe for any leader like an Arafat and anyone else to come and promise them something, that they get suckered in to these strong idealistic ideologies. And obviously, pain upon pain. You killed my brother, well, then you killed my cousin, and then you killed my, you know, and like I said, as a holy boy, how many times did I get dirty lickings because I, quote, stole the islands?
You think about this, it's a gargantuan question. And the question is, will it ever end? Will it ever end? And that's something we need to discuss. If so, how? If not, why not? Someone is wondering today: will there ever be a point of relief? There's people that are probably wondering that very thing. Maybe not wondering that very thing in the Holy Land, because so much has gone on, so much loss. Golda Meir, Pastor Waxer, you've got to share that quote. I mean, it speaks of the reality of the situation so profoundly. When we come back, this quote from Golda Meir, I think it will tug at you, it will provoke you, it'll even touch your heart. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny
because
and his special guest.
By the terrorists, right? Welcome back to our show. We've been having a pretty heated discussion here with Pastor Waxer Tipton and Pastor Dave Blevins. Heated in the way of discussing an issue that's very hot, and yeah. It's been hot, and it you might say it gets a little bit warm sometimes, and then it heats up again, and then it goes to the boiling point. Anytime you speak about the Middle East and the tensions that are there, and the contention between the land. The fighting for land and between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and then on top of that, you've got the terrorist groups, the Hamas, the Hezbollah, ISIS, ISIL, and the brutal things that are being done. Makes you wonder. Will these things ever end? Can it end? And if so, how? You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm glad that you're with us today. Again, this is there's a certain dynamic in the studio today because of what we're talking about, and these are very, very real things. And quite often, we live halfway around the world, and we look at a situation or we hear about a situation, we feel very safe in it, and we make judgments. We make up our own mind on things that may or may not be fully or well informed. And today, through our time, we just want to talk it out, talk further, and maybe shed a little bit more light, more insight on things. By the way, to find out more about One Love Ministries, Pastor Waxer, the senior pastor there, and Pastor Dave, the associate pastor, onelove.org, onelove.org. Well, Pastor Dave, will it end? Can it end?
Will it end? Yes, eventually. I obviously study the scriptures through the coming of the Messiah, Jesus himself. But in the meantime, is it possible to bring peace there? Yeah, it is possible. And the reality is right there on the ground. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is go to the east of Israel and Israel, and you see a peace agreement with Jordan.
Yep.
You go to the south, you have a peace agreement with Egypt. And at one time in their early history as a nation, there were major battles fought between these nations.
Lebanon in the north.
Yeah. And so is it a reality? Yes. The possibility is there. But the other side of the negotiating table has to come with really wanting to seek peace. That's the problem. Where Israel's position is they want peace. Mm-hmm. And they've shown that over and over by restraint. But the other side of the table, when you're led by a group like Hamas in the Gaza territory, they don't want peace. And so how do you negotiate for peace with someone who doesn't want peace? So the possibility is there. The reality is there. We see it with Egypt and Jordan and the peace treaties that have been established now for decades. But so you got to ask yourself, who are we negotiating with on the other end of the table? Mm-hmm. Do you really want peace? And if they do, then I honestly believe it's possible to have peace there tomorrow.
Yes.
Because Israel, if you look at the track record, history proves that their ability to negotiate and to give up for peace, what they have given up in the past for peace shows you the fact that they negotiate in a position of really wanting peace. When the other side of the table, that's not true. That's it.
Well, that's the quote.
Yeah. Share that quote.
Absolutely. A lot of folks are too young to know and remember Golda Meir, but the amazing woman and leader of Israel that she was in 72 when they were attacked in Yom Kippur, she was asked by a reporter, can you forgive them, the Arab world, for attacking you folks just even on a day and a holiday of peace? And her exact words were this. She says, I can forgive them for killing our children. I cannot forgive them for making me kill theirs. And that was just a mind blower to everyone, and still has, so much so that that is still the motto within the IDF today. The Israeli army is that they do what they can. Now, yes, we all have heard the casualties of children and so on and so forth. But the difference is, as Netanyahu said, he says, we use our rockets to protect our children. They use their children to protect their rockets. And that's what's been, that's why it's an ideology that is not sane. And as David said, there's people there living in Gaza that are crying out to be free. But the destruction of human life, that is not what anyone wants.
Okay, so now going back, Israel is willing to do it. They've proven by their track record,
yeah.
David, you said. Mm-hmm. What is it that the Palestinians are, why would they keep going back? We make peace and then breach peace, make peace. Why, what is it within their ideology that does not allow that, or they can't come to an agreement, a long-term agreement?
Well, again, I need to interject your words. They're not Palestinians. It's whoever would be the leaders at the time.
Okay.
You know, because there was one time in 2001, there was an offer from Barak given to the Palestinian
Ehud
state.
Ehud Barak.
Yes, yep. Ehud Barak gave this offer to Arafat. And this incredible, again, half of the country, north to south, there was people all over the world who were extremely upset at this. And you can check out Dennis Ross's book and you can see the map. And it was such an incredible offer. But Danny, because of Arafat and his mindset that to push the Jew into the sea and for the cry in their own their charter is the removal of the Jew. So much so, this is in fact, anyone can look it up. Prince Bandahar of Saudi Arabia said Arafat was not only a fool to not take this agreement, but he said it was a crime against the Palestinian people. That's an Arab prince said it was a crime that Arafat did not take this agreement. And so the point is that it's, to some, it is about land. To others, it's about a mindset, an ideology of who has the right or the removal or the complete hatred that has been so satanically driven over the centuries.
And it goes back again to ideology. You know, Israel is a land of peace. And even the Palestinians who enjoy citizenship within Israel understand that. And if you go back, like with Arafat, the leader of the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, you look at just him, his track record. How do you negotiate with someone who was the head of Black September, who orchestrated all these hijackings in the 70s? This is who you have to come to the table and negotiate with. And then now you have Hamas and you're dealing with these people. How does that work? I mean, you, myself, Waxer, if we see someone whose personality and everything is pointing in a complete opposite direction, let's just say right into darkness, would we negotiate or would we sit and try and teach them the way to light? And that's the problem, is that the people, the Palestinian people, they've just been in the darkness for so long by this type of leadership. And the hope for the Palestinians is the same hope that even the Israelis need. Mm-hmm. And that is to understand who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that ultimately will fix everything. But until we get to that point, who is on the other end of the table negotiating? And if they ever really come to a point of saying, yes, we really want true peace, I deal with this enough. I study it enough. I have enough Israeli friends.
So what do you do when you're in this so-called life, living life in the stalemate of the tension of terrorism? Mm. How do you live? Do you just live hiding out?
No.
Do you live in fear? How do your Israeli friends live?
You live life to its fullness. You live life according. You know, they may not understand that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, but they understand the teachings of God. They understand the Torah. And the Torah teaches life. Mm-hmm. And so when you go there, even Waxer sent back a video of a restaurant they were in right after the alerts went off and everything. And life was going on.
Mm-hmm.
People were enjoying a beautiful Shabbat evening, everything.
Muslim women sitting right next to Jewish women, you know, so they were in their burqas right next to other ladies that were dressed out and everything else. And the alarms had just gone off. And I looked at my friend and she goes, we live life. We know it's precious. We don't have a guarantee for tomorrow, and we live life. I mean, is that not almost an indictment to us as American Christians? It's like, wow, are we really living our life, even though we know the fullness of the gospel? My bottom line, and then I'd love to hear what Dave says on this, is that, you know, I'm concerned about my own country, and people are always saying, you know, we got to save America. Well, the only way I quote that I can save America is save Americans. That's my calling as a pastor. And so I save Americans, I get them born again, then that's going to fix my country. And the same thing with my heart with Israel is that the people, Palestinian, Jew, whomever, as we bring the gospel and teach them that Yeshua HaMashiach, the more that happens, the more you're going to see a change within the inside.
Dave, a quick word.
I'm living proof of that, what Waxer just said. That, I mean, I was no PLO terrorist or Hamas, anything, but I lived a life, a form of terrorism. And what changed that was knowing the love of Jesus and what he has done for me. And that radically transformed my life to where now I can go home at times back to Molokai to do things and share with people the love of Jesus. And no different on a bigger scale within the Jewish-Palestinian conflict.
Well said. Well said. And it's applicable. It's attainable. Mm-hmm. It's experiential. And the offer is there. Mm. Pastor Waxer, Pastor David, thank you. Thank you for coming today and sharing. Dear one, I hope that this was not only provocative, but stirring in a way that filled your heart with not only understanding and a deeper level of insight, but hope. Mm. Hope.
Amen.
In Christ. I want to thank you, Waxer and Dave, for being here. And as you have been given the opportunity to listen and to engage with us in this dialogue, invite others, friends of yours, to go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, listen in, share it with others, share it with friends. And if you don't know the love of Christ, you can know the love of Christ, even as Pastor Dave spoke about his own experience. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your financial support, thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Well, here's a scripture for today. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's always a blessing to be with you, my friend. And we've been joined today by Waxer Tipton and Dave Blevins. Find out more about them and their ministry at onelove.org. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.